Welcome to another deep dive. This time, we're exploring the newest trends in storage hardware and cloud tech.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, it should be pretty interesting. I've got a good mix of stuff for us. NAS comparisons, a few articles on quantum computing.
Oh, quantum computing, very timely.
Definitely timely. And we've got some product updates from Q&A, Link Plus, and Advantech.
Nice lineup.
So the mission for this deep dive is to get everyone up to speed on the most impactful stuff, you know, what we should really be paying attention to. There's just so much happening in tech and it's moving so fast.
Absolutely. And I think what's really exciting is, you know, we're not just talking about like incremental upgrades. These are changes that could like really fundamentally transform how we manage and protect our data.
Yeah, for sure. Let's dive right in with this whole idea of Q-Day.
Okay, Q-Day, yeah.
So for folks who haven't heard the term, it's basically referring to the day that quantum computers become powerful enough to crack our current encryption methods.
Right.
And some of the articles we looked at suggest it could be as early as the 2030s.
Yeah, I know. Kind of a sobering thought. And it has huge implications for, well, pretty much anyone who stores sensitive data.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to be thinking about what they're calling those harvest now, decrypt later attacks, where hackers are stealing encrypted data today.
Right.
Banking on their ability to unlock it later with more powerful quantum computers. So that's a serious threat.
It is. It's kind of like a ticking time bomb.
Right, exactly.
Speaking of speed, the progress in quantum computing itself is just astounding. Like, you look at Google's Willow chip, for example. It was able to perform a calculation in, like, under 5 minutes that would have taken a top-of-the-line supercomputer over 10 septillion years.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling, isn't it?
Absolutely mind-boggling.
I think, you know, the key takeaway for people to understand is that quantum computing is fundamentally different. It's not simply about doing things faster. It's about solving problems that were previously impossible.
And that has enormous consequences for data security, as we've been talking about. So the big question is, what can we do to protect ourselves? Are we, like, all doomed?
Not doomed.
Yeah.
No, no, not at all. I mean, the good news is that there are practical steps that you can take right now.
Mm-hmm.
So for starters, assess your current encryption, mm-hmm. right? Are you using algorithms that are known to be vulnerable to quantum attacks? Are your key lengths sufficient? So this evaluation can really highlight, you know, areas that need immediate attention. And start researching NIST-approved post-quantum cryptography algorithms.
Okay, NIST-approved.
Right. So these are algorithms that are designed to resist quantum attacks.
Yeah.
And they're currently being standardized for future use. So it's, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. There are things that we can do.
That's helpful advice. It's reassuring to know that we're not totally powerless in the face of this whole quantum threat. But what I find really fascinating is seeing how different tech companies are, you know, stepping up to the plate, so to speak. Like, take Amazon AWS, for instance. They're experimenting with this concept of cat qubits in their Ocelot chip. And this technology, you know, it's still in early stages, but it aims to make quantum computing more stable and cost effective by reducing errors. What are your thoughts on that?
It's an interesting approach for sure.
Yeah.
You know, these cat qubits, they utilize superpositions of states,
mm-hmm.
much like, you know, Schrodinger's cat.
Right.
You know, the famous thought experiment where the cat can be both alive and dead.
Mm-hmm.
And these cat qubits, they have the potential to really make these quantum calculations more reliable. So it's a promising avenue, definitely, for practical quantum computing.
And then you have IBM, who are tackling this from multiple angles, right?
Yeah.
They're kind of leading the way in post-quantum cryptography, developing algorithms that are designed to withstand these advanced attacks. And what's great is they're making a lot of this tech open source.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Which means they're helping to fortify the whole digital landscape.
Absolutely. And on top of that, they've just introduced the Granite 3.2 model family. You know,
yeah.
These are AI models. And they're designed for tasks like analyzing massive data sets, processing text, even like content moderation.
Mm-hmm.
So this combination of AI and, you know, quantum safe solutions, I think, is very powerful.
Yeah, like imagine AI algorithms that can identify threats and implement new security protocols in real time. You know,
exactly.
That's pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah. Seems like IBM is like covering all the bases.
Yeah, they really are. But they're not the only ones making moves. Microsoft is also jumping into the race with their Majorana 1 quantum chip.
Oh, interesting.
This chip utilizes what they call a topological core, which I'm not going to pretend I understand all the physics here, but basically it relies on the arrangement of electrons in a material to perform quantum calculations.
Okay.
And Microsoft believes this approach could actually significantly accelerate quantum development.
It is a fascinating concept. The idea there is to create qubits that are less susceptible to environmental noise, which is one of the biggest hurdles in building these stable quantum computers.
Makes sense.
So it's another very promising path towards practical quantum computing.
Right.
You know, it's really an exciting time to be watching these developments unfold.
It is. And speaking of exciting developments, let's move on to something a bit more tangible. New hardware and software.
All right, let's do it.
So we've got some interesting news from QNAP. First up is their QuantIS Cloud C5.2 Cloud NAS operating system.
Okay, Quantis Cloud.
And what's particularly cool about this is they have a new security center built in.
Oh, interesting.
Which is designed to be proactive in detecting and combating ransomware attacks. So, you know, given that ransomware is such a widespread problem right now.
Huge problem.
This is a significant update, to say the least.
It is, yeah. I mean, it seems like every week there's another high-profile ransomware attack. So this could be, you know, a real game changer for businesses trying to protect their data.
And QNIP is also releasing a new high-performance all-flash NAS, which they say is ideal for professionals dealing with those, you know, really demanding workloads like video editing, 3D rendering, that sort of thing. And then to top it off, they've got these AI accelerator cards that you can add to your existing QNIP NAS setup. So basically, you can add AI image recognition capabilities without having to replace your whole system.
That's pretty cool. I mean, it's great to see that AI is becoming more accessible to, you know, a wider range of users. It's not just like exclusive to the research labs or big tech companies anymore. So with these cards, anyone can, you know, use AI to organize their photos, perform facial recognition, all sorts of things.
Exactly. It seems like QNAP is really pushing the boundaries in the NAS market, but they're not the only ones innovating.
Oh, of course not.
We've also got Link Plus. They're launching a Kickstarter campaign for their new LinkStation N2 and S1 NAS devices.
LinkStation, okay.
And these devices have this really cool modern design. They integrate seamlessly with Unraid, and they're built for flexibility and, like, user-friendliness.
That's a smart move, actually. Because, you know, more and more people are using NAS systems at home these days, so it makes sense to really focus on, you know, design and user experience alongside performance.
Totally. And then there's AOSTAR, who are about to release a NAS with a pretty unique configuration. 5 SSDs and 6 HDDs. So, you know, this is definitely for those who need a ton of storage capacity.
Wow, yeah, those who are storage hungry.
Yeah, the storage hungry folks. Wow. And they're also adding a fun element with customizable display themes.
Oh, that's fun.
So you can, you know, personalize your NAS and make it feel less like, you know, a boring box. And speaking of pushing the boundaries, Advantech has launched some new high-speed SSDs, the SqueeFlash EDS-FF and EU2 PCIe Gen 5x4. And these are specifically designed for enterprise and data-intensive environments where, you know, speed is king.
Okay, data-intensive. Yeah.
We're talking read speeds up to 14,000 millibits.
Wow. That is incredibly fast. And what's really impressive is that these new SSDs, they support hot swapping. So you can replace them without having to shut down the entire server, which is, I mean, that's a huge advantage for businesses where downtime could be very costly.
It's all about minimizing disruptions and keeping things running smoothly.
Exactly.
And finally, we have Icy Dock with their innovative Express Slot Core adapter cards. So these cards have removable M.2 NVMe SSD trays that you can swap out like super easily, no tools required.
That's really cool. It's a great example of, you know, hardware design that's really solving a specific user need.
Totally.
They've really addressed the need for flexibility and speed when you're working with large data sets or, you know, in time-sensitive environments.
Before we move on, there's just one more thing I wanted to mention. It's not directly related to storage, but it caught my eye. It's the Heluk HL Mini PC. It's a great little device, you know, for anyone interested in networking. It has a bunch of ports, including dual 10GBE, and it's surprisingly affordable.
It's always fun to discover those hidden gems in the tech world, like a reminder that innovation is happening everywhere, not just the big corporations, but also in those smaller, you know, niche companies.
For sure. And that brings us to a good point to pause. We've explored this looming threat of quantum computing, the race to develop quantum safe solutions, and all this exciting new hardware and software.
We've covered a lot of ground.
We have, but there's more to come. In part two, we'll dive into NetApp's unique approach to data security and, you know, discuss some of the broader implications of these advancements.
Stay tuned. The future of data security is, you know, being shaped right now, and we'll be back to unpack it all. Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
It's crazy, right? We're talking about these huge leaps in like performance and capabilities with, you know, these high-speed SSDs and AI-powered mass devices.
Totally.
But at the same time, we have this quantum computing evolution that's making us like completely rethink data security.
It's like we're building this high-tech car, but we're still figuring out like what are the rules of the road?
Yeah, it's exciting.
It is exciting.
But also a little bit nerve-wracking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that kind of leads us to NetApp, a company that's, you know, known for their focus on data management and security.
Yeah.
And they have this layered approach to encryption that I think is really, really relevant considering these emerging threats.
Okay, so like break it down for us.
Yeah.
What's NetApp's strategy and why should we, you know, as users or as IT professionals, why should we care?
So NetApp has two main encryption technologies.
Okay.
First, you've got NetApp Volume Encryption, or NVE, which is software-based, and it uses AES 256 encryption.
Okay.
Then there's NetApp Storage Encryption, or NSE, which uses self-encrypting drives, and also AES 256.
Got it.
Both of these have FIPS 142 validation, which is like a top-tier security certification.
So both of those sound like, you know, pretty solid encryption methods on their own, but what makes NetApp's approach, you know, unique or stand out?
Well, the key is that they can be used together. So you create this dual-layer encryption system.
Got it.
You know, think of it like having a safe inside of a vault.
Oh, okay.
Even if someone manages to crack the safe, they still have to get through the vault to access the valuables.
Yeah, that's a great analogy.
Right.
It seems like a really smart way to minimize risk, especially, you know, as we're still kind of in this waiting game for these widely adopted quantum resistant algorithms.
Exactly. I mean, this aligns perfectly with what the NSA is recommending, which is, you know, use strong encryption now and be ready to transition to quantum safe algorithms, you know, as they become standard.
Yeah.
So they're really kind of, you know, preparing for the future instead of just waiting for it to happen.
It's like that old saying, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is today.
Exactly. And that brings up a really important question for our listeners, right?
Yeah.
How are you handling data security in your own organizations? Are you assuming your current encryption is enough? Or are you actively planning for this, you know, quantum-ready future?
That's a great question for folks to think about.
Yeah, it's a discussion that every organization needs to be having, you know, regardless of size.
For sure.
Ignoring the quantum threat, it's like, you know, playing a dangerous game with your data.
Yeah, for sure.
Eventually, you're likely to face some consequences.
So let's step back for a second from the, like, specific tech and think about the bigger picture here.
Yeah.
One thing that just keeps coming up in all these articles is this huge skills gap in quantum computing.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, we just don't have enough people who actually understand this technology and its impact on, you know, on security, on everything, really.
It's a major concern.
Yeah.
And we need more than just, you know, quantum physicists or cryptography specialists.
Yeah.
We need people across all industries who can understand these concepts and, you know, and make informed decisions.
It's almost like we need this like worldwide crash course in quantum literacy.
I like that.
And it's not just about security, right?
Yeah.
We need to understand how quantum computing is going to affect everything.
Everything.
From, you know, medicine and material science to finance and artificial intelligence.
It's going to touch every aspect of our lives.
Yeah.
And as we've seen with AI, you know, early adopters often have a significant advantage.
Right.
So if you're looking to stay ahead of the curve, you know, now is the time to start exploring these concepts, really getting your hands dirty.
So from your perspective, like, what are some of the most exciting potential applications of quantum computing, you know, beyond just breaking encryption?
Well, I think drug discovery holds immense potential, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine being able to simulate the behavior of molecules at a quantum level.
Yeah.
This could revolutionize how we develop new drugs.
Yeah.
Potentially leading to cures for diseases that are currently, you know, incurable.
That's incredible.
It really is.
It feels like we're on the cusp of like a whole new world of possibilities, all thanks to this strange and fascinating world of quantum mechanics.
And then there's materials.
Yeah.
Science.
Oh, yeah.
Quantum computers could help design materials with properties that we can't even imagine right now.
Yeah.
This could lead to breakthroughs in energy storage, construction, you know, countless other industries.
It makes sense why there's so much excitement surrounding this technology.
It's like we're giving humanity a set of tools that could solve some of our biggest problems.
Yeah.
But of course, With great power comes great responsibility.
Right. Yeah.
As with any powerful technology, there are ethical and societal implications that we need to consider very carefully.
Yeah.
We need to ensure that these advancements benefit everyone, not just, you know, a select few.
It's a conversation that we need to be having now, not later.
Absolutely.
We need to, you know, ensure that the quantum future is one that we all want to live in.
I'm glad we're having this conversation here on the Deep Dive.
Me too.
This is exactly the kind of dialogue we need to be having.
Okay, I think it's time for us to take a short break.
Sounds good.
We've covered a lot of ground, and I'm sure our listeners have plenty to think about.
We're not done yet.
Oh, great.
In the final part of this deep dive, we'll talk about some practical steps that you can take to prepare for the quantum era.
Okay, good.
And we'll also touch on some really exciting developments in space exploration.
Ooh, space exploration.
And their connection to the future of data storage.
Can't wait. So stay tuned, everyone. Welcome back to the final part of our deep dive into, well, the future of storage and all things quantum.
And welcome back to reality.
Yeah, right? My brain is definitely feeling a bit full after all of that discussion.
It's a lot to process, for sure.
It is.
But as we promised, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about what you, our listeners, can actually do to start getting ready for this quantum future.
Okay, so where do we begin? Should we all go out and buy quantum computers?
Not quite yet, I think.
Okay, good.
Quantum computers, you know, they're still primarily in that research and development phase. For most organizations, I think the real focus right now should be on cryptography.
Okay, so cryptography.
Yeah.
What should we be doing in that area?
Well, first and foremost, you really want to take stock of your current encryption practices.
Okay.
What algorithms are you using? What are your key links? Are there any systems that you rely on that are, you know, known to be vulnerable to these quantum attacks? I mean, this assessment will give you a really clear picture of where you stand right now in terms of security.
So once we have that understanding of where we are, what's next?
Well, then you want to start exploring these quantum-resistant algorithms.
Okay, quantum-resistant algorithms.
NIST, you know, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, they've been working on standardizing these algorithms. And some really promising candidates are starting to emerge.
Okay.
So, you know, familiarize yourself with those algorithms, you know, how they work.
So essentially, we're trying to future-proof our encryption as much as we can right now. But how do we know which algorithms are going to be like the most effective in the long run? Because it seems like it's such a moving target, right?
That's a great question. And you're right, it is an evolving field, so there's no easy answer right now.
Right.
But I think by staying informed and connected with, you know, experts in the field, you can make smart decisions about which algorithms to adopt and when.
So it sounds like this is an ongoing process, not just like a one-time fix, you know? We have to kind of constantly be evaluating and reevaluating.
Think of quantum safe security as a journey, not a destination.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
It requires that constant adaptation and improvement.
It sounds like it's not just about the technology itself, but also about creating a culture of security within our organizations.
That's a really crucial point, actually.
Yeah.
You know, technology is essential, but it's only one piece of the puzzle.
Right.
We need to educate our teams, yeah, implement, you know, robust security policies, and just foster an environment where everyone understands the importance of security.
Yeah.
Then they take responsibility for it.
So we've talked a lot about the cryptography side of things.
Yeah.
But what about the hardware? I mean, are there any quantum safe storage solutions available yet?
Not in the sense of like hardware that's specifically designed to, you know, resist these quantum attacks.
Right.
But as we were talking about earlier, companies like NetApp, they're offering solutions with, you know, strong encryption, layered security approaches.
Yeah.
While these solutions might not be explicitly quantum safe yet, mm-hmm, they do provide that high level of protection that's going to serve you well in the meantime.
So it sounds like it's also about, you know, choosing the right vendors who are prioritizing security and kind of looking ahead to the future.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Look for vendors who are actively involved in, you know, the quantum safe community, who are open about their encryption practices, mm, and who are committed to providing that ongoing support and updates, because things are going to change.
Yeah, it's going to be a wild ride, that's for sure.
For sure.
It's, you know, just thinking about how far we've come in such a short time is fascinating. They're talking about quantum computers that can perform calculations in minutes.
Right.
That would take supercomputers, you know, billions of years.
It's hard to even wrap your head around it.
And then we're seeing companies like QNAP integrating AI into, you know, everyday devices like NAS systems.
It is mind-boggling when you really sit down and think about it.
It is.
And it just highlights the importance of staying informed.
Mm.
You know, being adaptable.
Being curious.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the tech landscape, as we've been saying, is constantly shifting.
Constantly.
And what seems like science fiction today could be reality tomorrow.
Very true.
You mentioned earlier that we'd touch on space exploration. And I was reading about this company that's planning to build a data center on the moon.
Lone Star. Yeah, it's an ambitious project, to say the least.
It sounds like something out of a movie.
It does, but it speaks to the growing demand for data storage.
Yeah.
And the need to think creatively about solutions.
It sounds crazy at first.
It does sound crazy.
But then when you think about the potential benefits, it kind of makes sense.
Right.
Like a space-based data center, it would be immune to so many of the threats that we face here on Earth, you know, natural disasters, power outages, you name it.
And with, you know, the advancements in satellite communication, accessing data from space is becoming more and more feasible.
Yeah.
It's like a glimpse into a future where our data might not be stored in server farms, but, you know, in orbit or even on other planets.
That is a wild thought.
It's mind-blowing.
Well, I think it's time for us to wrap up this deep dive.
Yeah, I think so.
We've explored the potential of quantum computing, the race to develop those quantum-safe solutions, groundbreaking new hardware and software.
And even
space. It's been quite a journey.
It has.
And I hope our listeners feel, you know, a little bit better equipped to navigate this complex and exciting world of data storage and security.
Absolutely.
I think if there's one key takeaway from all of this, it's that the landscape is changing rapidly.
It is, yeah.
To stay ahead, we need to be informed, adaptable, and, you know, just stay curious.
Yeah, and engaged.
And engaged, yes.
Don't just sit back and let it happen.
Yeah.
Be a part of the conversation.
The future of data security is literally being shaped right now.
It is.
And it's a conversation that we all need to be a part of.
Absolutely.
So thank you for joining us on The Deep Dive.
Always a pleasure.
Until next time.